I don't know. It's good to see you. Thank you, worship team. I really appreciated those songs and help us to focus on the Lord. That's who we are to give all glory and honor and majesty to. He is our strength. He is our force, He's our power, He's our might. Today we're talking about, we're number 9 in the series, Unshakable Faith, God's Unlimited Power. God's Unlimited Power. Now, here's what I want to do. I'll give you a heads up about what's coming at the end of service. All right. When we talk about God's unlimited power, we're going to be talking about a lot of different things, but we often need to understand that God's unlimited power is for us as well. It's not just for the expanse, not just for the universe, but it's for us as well. And I know that some of you have experienced God's power in your life, and there have been things that's broken off of you. There has been sicknesses that have been healed because of God's power manifesting itself to you, and yet you've not told your story. And so here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you, to ask the Lord, Lord, do you want me to share my story? Okay. Some of you have already shared, but there's some of you that haven't shared. And I would like it if the Lord would impress upon you for you to share your story. Because it's very important that we hear each other's stories because it helps build faith in ourselves. It helps build faith in the community of believers when we tell the story. As you read God's Word, and I want to encourage you to read God's Word, because as you read other people's stories in God's Word, it increases your faith as well. And so I want to just encourage you, don't be hesitant about sharing what God has done for you. Many people question God's unlimited power and His love because bad things happen. They surmise that if God were all-powerful, He would stop the forces of evil and only good would happen. But I just want to let you understand that God is not the problem. People are the problem. God is not the problem. God's power is unlimited. He spoke the world into existence. Let's look, if you would, at Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 27. It said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God said, let there be an expanse in the midst. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light, because God spoke it. Then God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. This was the second day. So there was a big expanse of water, and there was water that separated. Water went heavenward. Water went heavenward, and water went downward. And then on the third day, God said, this is the third day. God said, let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. In verse 11, God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed and fruit trees, and earth bearing fruit after their kind with seed in them. And it was so. Third day. Then God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. Let them be for signs, for seasons, for days and years, and let them be for lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. He made the sun, the moon, and the stars. He spoke it into existence. Fourth day. Then God said, let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth in the open expanse of the heavens, the fifth day. And then God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after their kind. And it was so. And God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. And God created man in his own image, and the image of God he created him. Male and female, he created them the sixth day. That's a remarkable story. And I know that there are theories out there that try to pervert what God has established in his word. Some of you may have learned it in school about evolution. I remember in, the sixth grade, maybe it was the seventh grade, they were talking about evolution. My science teacher was. And he had us, he gave us all a roll of tape that goes on a calculator. And, it just keep roll. And at that time, it was not digital. It was manual. And so he had us, write a timeline of when there was an embryo, and then the dinosaurs, and then mankind. And there was something in my spirit that just didn't feel right about that. And so I didn't do the assignment. Charlie Howe said, Brad, you don't do this assignment, I'm going to take you out and paddle you. And they did that when I was growing up. So he took me outside and paddled me, but I still wouldn't do the assignment, because there was something in my spirit that said, there's something wrong with this. There's something wrong with this. I should have told my dad on him. I didn't think about it. Well, usually when I got paddled at school, I got paddled at home too. And so, a few times, but I didn't let my dad know. God spoke the world into existence. God has magnificent power. It's amazing the power that God has. Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson decided to go on a camping trip. And after dinner, after cooking over the fire, they lay down for the night to go to sleep. And some hours later, Holmes awoke and nudged his faithful friend. "Watson, look up at the sky and tell me what you see." And Watson replied, "I see millions of stars." "What does that tell you?" Watson pondered for a minute. "Astronomically, it tells me that there are millions of galaxies and potentially billions of planets. Astrologically, I observe that Saturn is in Leo. Horologically, I deduce that time is approximately 3:15. Theologically, I can see that God is all-powerful and that we are small and insignificant. Meteorologically, I suspect that we have a beautiful day tomorrow." "What does it tell you, Holmes?" Holmes was silent for a moment. Then he spoke, "Watson, you idiot, someone has stolen our tent." Have you ever looked out at this expanse at night and seen God's wonderful creation? How can you not believe in God's wonderful power? Jeremiah 10:12 says, "It is he who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom, and by his understanding he has stretched out the heavens." God did all of that by his power. He created you by his power. And no one but God has that ability. No one but God has that power and that wisdom to be able to do that. No one but God can do that. It's not a happenstance. God created it. It's by the power of God and by his word that everything is held together. Listen to Hebrews 1:3. "Who, being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had hit by himself, purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." So this passage is referring to Jesus Christ. Have you ever wondered why the planets keep themselves from colliding into one another? I mean, there are billions of stars. There are billions of galaxies. There's billions of stars within each galaxy. There's billions of solar systems. And why don't they collide together? Well, I know you're going to say it's gravitation. But who put all that in place? Who was wise enough to figure all that out? Who was wise enough to know how far to separate these galaxies, these planets? Who was wise enough for that? That did not just happen. God put that in place. And Scripture says it's Jesus, it's by the word of his power that keeps all of everything in order. Keeps everything in order. When I was in science in school, I learned about this about the elements in our sphere of in the science, and I learned that they were in like octaves. There's 8 elements. And then 8 elements, and then 8 elements, and then 8 elements, and then 8 elements. And when I was in science, there were a few missing. They knew they were missing because they weren't ordered. There were some elements that had not been revealed yet. And God made that in order. He put all that in order. It's amazing what God can do. Jesus not only holds the world together, not only does he order these things, but Jesus demonstrated his power while here on earth. You can read about his magnificent power in the Gospels. He raised people from the dead. He cast out demons. He healed leprosy and other diseases. He healed the blind. The deaf were made whole. Even nature obeyed the command of Jesus. Demons were cast out. And then Jesus rose from the dead. Listen to this passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 1, verse 4. Talking about Jesus, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So it was by Jesus' resurrection that he was proved to be the Son of God. No one else has ever raised from the dead and gone to glory except Jesus Christ. They couldn't find his body, though they looked. It's the power of God that raised him from the dead. The power of God was also on display when Egypt held Israel captive. When Israel escaped from Egypt, you remember the plagues. You remember the things, the way that God demonstrated his power to the Egyptians so that he could free the Israelites. He sent flies. He sent frogs. He caused the Nile River to turn to blood. 10 plagues. The last plague, the firstborn was killed, and the children of Israel were able to leave Egypt. God's power has been active throughout history, even unwritten history. God's power has been active, and his power is not just for the past, but his power is for the present. Lives are still being transformed by the power of Jesus today. Forgiven and free. Listen to this passage. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed, Paul says, of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. It is the power of God for salvation. What is the power of God for salvation? Say it again. Say it again. The gospel. That is the power of God unto salvation. It's not religion. It's not living by a moral code. It's not by doing good works. It's not by baptism. It's the gospel. So what is the gospel? Okay. It's the declaration of Jesus' birth, life, death, burial, and resurrection. That's the gospel. Yet there's power in that. And a lot of people, you would not be a child of God if you did not believe that. The power of the gospel is to every person who believes. Every person who believes. So here's the gospel. Jesus came to earth. He lived a perfect life without sin. He was murdered. for our sin, for your sin. He was buried. And 3 days later, he rose again, proving he was the Son of God. That's the gospel. The power of salvation is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. In no other way, it's in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And either you're going to believe it, or you're going to reject it. I was talking to a young man just the other day. And he said, I don't believe in God. Because my mom died when I was 10 years old. Good things happened. She believed in him. She followed him. She trusted him. Why did bad things happen to my mom? It's a good question. But what was interesting with him is that he felt like he needed to live a moral life. I wonder who put that in his life. Okay. Another thing that was interesting was that when I asked if I could pray for him regarding a job, he said, yes, you can pray for me. Isn't that interesting? And I was able to share Christ with him. He did not receive Christ yet, but it planted some seeds. And I just shared the gospel, and it's the power of the gospel that causes a person to come to know Christ or come to have a relationship with him. The power of the gospel sets a person free from guilt, free from shame, free from the penalty of sin, free from the power of sin. That's why it's vital that we share Christ at every opportunity we have. Because without Christ, without the gospel, people will not spend eternity in heaven. It's only through sharing the gospel. Not only does Jesus free us from guilt and shame, and free us from the penalty of sin and the power of sin, but bondages are broken and the sick are healed by the power of Jesus. Not just back in Jesus' day, but also in this day. So, this is your opportunity. Some of you this morning have been delivered from substance abuse, from anger, from fear. Some of you have been healed physically, and people need to hear your story. And you can just start by saying, and I will start, once I had a lot of anger in my life. But God delivered me when I was willing to forgive people who had wounded me and hurt me. That's the power of God. So who wants to be next? Sandy? Let's go 3 minutes.
Okay, I was going to say five, but that's good.
Okay.
Okay, when I was 4 years old, I got a phone call in Neatarts, and I gave it to Mom. That's when my dad had 8 heart attacks and died 10 times on the way to the hospital. And the Lord picked me up every night, and I would talk to him. You know, I blab a lot. I'd say, please don't let my daddy die. And I said that over and over and over. And one day he came home. Well, when I was 18, he did die. And I told God, don't you dare talk to me, show me visions. Don't you give me anything. Well, when I woke up in jail, I said, oh, I guess you need me now to do the end time stuff, you know. And so then I got in an accident at Barview, tore my knees. He said, I'd never walk. I need the operation. I did not take the operation. I said in my heart that God will heal me. Look at me today. Then I got in an accident that broke my collarbone and all my ribs. I'd pass out all the time because the people at the hospital never even took x-rays or anything. And so for a whole month without drugs, I went through that while healing. Well, it's all, you know, funny kind. And that's Hawaii talk, funny kind. And look at me.
Praise
the Lord. I'm walking almost 3 miles a day now. And am I done?
Hallelujah.
And God's great. Believe on him. I know he exists. I know.
Amen. Thank you, Sandy. Who's next? Okay, Jill. Well, you'll need to leave. Okay. The people on Zoom won't be able to see you.
The Lord's worked so many times in my life, and miracle after miracle in my life. But my latest one was, and I hope my son forgives me, but my son, my oldest son, Trask, some of you have seen him here, had... After he graduated from college, he went to Hawaii and never came home. And all this time, you know, sometimes it'd be a year before I'd hear from him. Well, I got a call from him, and he was really, really struggling. He came home to be with my husband and I, and he was in full-blown schizophrenia, full-blown. Plus, he was in extreme OCD. And so he came home, and he couldn't handle it. There was no medication, doctors at this time. He went back. He went back to Hawaii, got in trouble in Hawaii, where they put him in jail, and then from there they realized it was a mental issue. He got put in a group home for 6 years. Prior to being in the group home, when he came to be with my husband and I for a few months, he was in full-blown schizophrenia, and he was being told by the enemy Satan was trying to steal his soul. He couldn't take his spirit. The Lord had all that. But Satan wanted to take his life. And he told Trask to, if he wanted to save me, which he loves dearly, and his brother, that the final thing is he had to jump off a bridge, which he did. He was rescued out of the Columbia River and put in OHSU. When he was there, he got out, and that's when he went back for the second time. Anyway, I had to finally just turn it over. I had no idea all these years in Hawaii he was suffering this. It built up to, I had no idea. So As it turns out, he got out of the group home 6 years in, and my husband had died. I said, come live with me. And he did. And I've got to say that I've learned more about the Lord having him in my home than ever before.
Wow.
He is so genuine,
wow,
so tender, so loving. He loves the Lord. I can't even tell you what he loves the Lord. He's on medication, and the Lord's using him mightily in my life, and I'm sure he's touching others.
Amen.
So the Lord works,
amen,
in miraculous ways.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That was good. Very good. One more. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. She said that the Lord healed her of fear 2 weeks ago. So thank you, Lord. One more. Matt? Two more.
I just want to share that God's presence was work when Pam and I got married. We always went to church, but we were saved. When you know, we were given $2 a week, and we didn't know about 10%. We didn't know anything. But anyway, we were given $2 a week to the church, and Pam started teaching school. And I think some of you have heard this story before, but we started to get $4 a week to church. And my wife, my mother, found out, and she come unglued, and she said, that's way too much money, you know. And so we went back to $2 a week. But Pam and I could tell the difference. And it was just a few weeks. I mean, things just weren't going well. So we went back to giving $4 a week. But, you know, you're not responsible for things when you don't know, you know. And then later, Pam and I got saved, you know, and found out, you know, it's the word of God says to give a tenth. So, you know, we started tithing, you know, and I don't think a person, if you don't really know, I don't think you're held accountable. But once you know, you're going to be held accountable. And so, you know, God is just actually always pretty much taken everything I've ever done and just kind of turned to gold, to be honest with you. But if you don't have a good wife, then you don't have anything either. So anyway, that's what, when Pastor was saying about praying, that's what God showed me that I needed to share.
All right. Thank you, Larry. Hey, Matt.
So I'm not going to share with you the latest one, but I will say that it wasn't too many months ago. Many of you, if you remember, my eyes were bleary. I was mostly drooling, was having a hard time staying awake. If you asked me what to pray for, I'd say sleep. More than anything, just over and over again, sleep, 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 because I wasn't getting it. But then it was late last year, the Lord laid something on me. He said, Matt, you're asking for the wrong thing. You're not getting it. And I said, well, what do you mean I'm not getting it? What am I supposed to get? What do you want? And he said, that's sleep is what you want. Why don't you ask me what I want? And I said, okay, well, Lord, well, what do you want? And he said, I want you to do things. Go. Don't worry about sleep. Just, I can help you. And I said, okay. So I started praying. Instead of, Lord, you know, put me to sleep. Don't get me wrong. I still pray that. And sometimes I wish you'd just use a 2x4. I think it'd be quicker. But I started praying, you know, Lord, give me the energy, give me the will, the strength, the perseverance, and the faith to do what you want me to do. And it started out small and it's just growing and growing and growing. And it's all I can do is testify that, yeah, he is right. I don't even ask for prayers for sleep anymore because I, energy, strength, joy, peace, all of it, he has just given me and just
praise the
Lord.
Sleep
is no longer necessary.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Matt. I will comment on what Larry said. We're not responsible for what we don't know. However, there are financial principles written out in God's Word, and if you put those in place and in practice, it just works. You can't figure it out. It just works. Just like there are principles for a lot of different things throughout Scripture, if you put them into practice, they work. And so just... and they do. So Pam says she gives more than they do to give more than $4 a week. Now, it is incredible how God just blesses and blesses and blesses. When you are faithful to Him, He's faithful to you. This morning, I just want to say that if you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you're missing the greatest blessing you will ever experience in your life. The power of Jesus Christ to come into your life and to transform you inside out. It's not something that you have to work at. Well, how to explain it? You don't get better by trying. You get better by allowing Jesus to live His life through you. And so that's the only power we as Christians have to live the Christian life is what Jesus does in us. This morning, you may need a touch from God for one thing or another. Maybe you need somebody to pray for your healing. Maybe you need somebody to pray for your deliverance. Maybe you have some other prayer concerns that you need someone to agree with you in. And so this morning, as we have the invitation, I'm going to ask you to come so that we can pray for you. And if you are unable to come and just kind of raise your hand, we'll come back to you. Okay? And we'll just let God do what He wants to do and show His power this morning. Father, I come before you today. Thank you so much for your love and mercy. Thank you for your power that you demonstrate to us over and over and over again. Lord, one more time. Show us yourself so that we can honor and glorify you. Even to a greater extent than we do now. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.